What would you guys say? Like, what's like the biggest reason why people are distracted?
I'm gonna read this excerpt. It says, I was checking YouTube Studio like every hour and it was like crap. Oh, another 10 subs, another 50 subs.
You have to ask yourself this question. If what I'm doing on this earth will eventually come to an end.
You're sitting there like a little kid on the edge of the fence looking at other people's gardens when yours is just like dying.
Unless you come out of that noise and step back, then you want to escape from the responsibilities. And what's the one way to escape from responsibility? Doing the bad things. What's the bad things? Drinking, partying. What's your excuse? Oh, I grew up in this environment. Well, that's kind of a lie because
people are truly missing their individuality. All their inputs are just from other people's voices. And you don't get to ever hear their own, hear what's actually going on inside of them.
Understand who you are. Like, really learn about yourself. The amount of people that don't even know who they are is crazy. They're always struggling with that one small thing that needs to be changed. But it's always that one thing and that small thing that makes a huge impact. These stuff were made to keep people distracted from the actual goal, from the actual purpose, and from being present.
Now, we're all like living in like gluttony pretty much. Not with food, but with information.
Right. With food.
Exactly.
Your spirit's not free. Your mind's just occupied by constant dopamine, constant attention, constant information. And it's not a way to go. And it's really never going to fill the void from all that attention, all that noise, and all that distraction. You're never really going to know. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be talking about how to stay focused in a distracted world, because I'm pretty sure we all understand how people struggle with staying focused and living in a present moment, not being too overwhelmed by what's going on, like not being overstressed about what's going on in their life and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, all that comes from social media and, you know, I personally have moments in my life where I get so distracted in being social media and in the world type of thing, where you get caught up and now you're not free. Your spirit's not free. Your mind's just occupied by constant dopamine, constant attention, constant information. And you just, you know, you can't really differentiate your reality from other people's, or like how society puts it, or how it really is in your life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're kind of, I guess, going to give you guys our life experiences, give you some advice on how to be more present, how to be more free of the spirit, mind, and, you know, live in peace. Because it's a big problem in today's world. A lot of people are not really in peace. A lot of people are constantly just trying to look for something and fill the void with pleasure and dopamine. So it's not a way to go. And it's really never going to fill the void. I mean, we've lived that life and it didn't work. So, you're going to share what?
Yeah.
The quote from the book?
Let me read an excerpt from this book called Transcending Reality, 7-8 Days. So, like we talk about, like when it comes to being distracted and trying to cultivate your focus, it's all about self-awareness. That's like the biggest skill that you can kind of start to level up in today's age. So, I'm going to read this excerpt. It says, right now, embrace the awareness that your life is a game, which you have been pushed into playing. While you are mentally engrossed in the game, you can't objectively evaluate a situation or influence the course of events in any significant way. So first, come down into the audience hall, take a good look, calm look at everything around you, and say to yourself, in this moment, I am fully awake and aware of where I am, what is happening, what I am doing, and why. Then walk back onto the stage and continue playing your role while remaining the witness like any other member of the audience. Now you have a huge advantage, awareness. You have hacked the game and acquired the ability to control it. So in this excerpt, when it says come down to the audience hall, right now, whenever we're in a social situation, we're all like pretty much in a play. We're all acting, right?
In a game.
Taking action.
Yeah.
That's what that's about. But sometimes we can be a little bit mindless. We turn our brains off. We conform easily to other people. We just kind of blurt things out. We get distracted, get occupied. But if you simply use your self-awareness to take a step back, go into the audience and go from the audience standpoint to look at what's happening all around you, that's where the power lies. And that is where awareness is cultivated.
Yeah, well said. What would you guys say? Like, what's like the biggest reason why people are distracted or they're not very present. Georgie, what would you say? What do you think? Like, what's the biggest cause of that?
I think phones, dude. Like social media, just trying to, like literally at the start and from the morning, I still, like memory was online.
Yeah.
The first thing I would do is pick up my phone and check what was on social media, you know what I mean? The whole day, you're not present anymore. The whole day, you're just thinking about what should I watch next, mm-hmm. right? And
dopamine,
like,
and dopamine.
Exactly, yeah. So when you start your morning like that, you're not really thinking about how should I do what I'm actually like, what my plan is throughout the day. And what it becomes is you start to distract yourself, and you're not really thinking, like you're trying to fill the void in yourself not to do the things that you were supposed to be doing right. from the morning.
Yeah.
You just pick up your phone and you say, well, yeah, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and then you get stressed out to the point where your like 2 hours from the morning is now lost. Like, you know what I mean? You could have read a book, yeah. you know, got up, you know, cleaned your room, do the beds, whatever. And now that 2 hours, you're behind now because of the doom scrolling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's always, like, here's the thing. I think sometimes watching something on your phone, watching a movie or whatever, it's not always a bad thing. It's just not definitely in the morning, because yeah. morning is supposed to be getting to work.
Exactly.
So I think that's I always tell everybody, you know what I mean? That's how I got, what's called on track. I would, in the morning, I wouldn't pick up my phone. You know, like first 30 minutes, first hour, I would just do the things, like get out, brush my teeth, stuff like that, be in reality, you know what I mean? And then, obviously, you pick up my phone and text friends or see what's going on.
Yeah, I feel like sure. when it comes to technology, things have just so like rapidly just increased over the past like 50 years or so. The past century, 100 years ago, what was it, like 1924, yeah,
there was
right?
No phone.
There was no phones, and there was not even a radio. It was I don't think there was a radio.
No, there was radio.
Like barely a radio. But like back then, it's like you would have, would they have TVs? Like I'm not really up to date.
Wait,
with
when?
That. Like 1920s, like was there really TVs and radios back then?
I think so. I think
the first radio was built in 1895.
So it's like still new around
right.
then.
Yeah. Exactly.
And back then, that was the only time where they would kind of almost escape. That would where they would get most of the pleasure from that. The broadcast, the radio, the TV, whatever. But now it's in our pockets. Now it's so we have an overabundance of information, an overabundance of being connected to people, and overabundance of just everything.
Yeah.
And so now we're all like living in like gluttony pretty much, not with food, but with information,
right.
with
and
so
also
much
with food.
Exactly. With food, but it's also with just,
content,
distractions. We just like to fill ourselves up so much, and just an over excess.
100%.
And there's never time to take a rest, to take a break. And we're not sitting here, like we're not meant to just constantly just be filling ourselves with information, being distracted. No one likes to do that.
It's a weird feeling, yeah.
It's not fulfilling, and people know that. That's why like it's a cycle. It's they get unfulfilled from the hits of dopamine they get from the overconsumption, and they think in order to override that, you overconsume even more.
Right.
And it's just a constant cycle, and you're just on this down spiral until you snap.
Exactly, yeah. And just like how we said last episode, hitting rock bottom, like you have to, like eventually you tell yourself, okay, this is my rock bottom, and you have to snap out of it. I think that's what social media is for. That's why it was created. Those big companies that create, or those apps that they create, like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, they know the psychology of a human being. They know why they're doing the things that they're doing on there. Like the whole thing with liking a picture or posting a picture so you can get likes, comments, shares, now you on Twitter, you can just make comments on whatever. People get up in the morning and they're just curious to see who liked my post, who commented on my post, who is my new follower, what am I gaining from social media, what is somebody saying, like, you know, keeping up with the drama, keeping up with the world. And to be honest, for the most part, well, I don't know if it's for the most part, but sometimes, you know, mostly these information are not even real, dude. Like what people tweet, it might just be a fake tweet, that type of stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't have Twitter. I never had Twitter. I don't know what's going on in there. I just know that a lot of people will say, stay away from Twitter. Like even the ones that are on Twitter will be like, yo, dude, stay off Twitter. Like these stuff were made to keep people distracted from the actual goal, from the actual purpose, and from being present. Because when you trap a human being in a world and in a system where they're always occupied by some information, they don't want to get out of there. YouTube, dude, and social media just has so much content for every single being, starting from age of 1 to probably 100. All kinds of things, all kinds of people making content. Dude, who's going to get distracted? Nobody. It's for everybody. It's meant to keep everybody occupied. And, you know, until you really realize that it's not doing you any favor unless you're there making content to help other people and really make an impact on the world positively, then you're just really distracting yourself and trying to fill the void that's never going to be filled. Because like you said, it's just constant dopamine, and you're in this loop where, you know, you keep on consuming something that's unfulfilling, thinking that it's going to fulfill you.
Exactly. And when it comes to, like, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, should we go maybe on what the simple things that people can do to be more present, be more, you know, clear-minded? Because that's one of the things. If you constantly have noise in your head, you're not really clear-minded. You're just always thinking other people's thoughts. You're always thinking what the world is telling you. And now you can't even make your own choices, because that's what people said on social media. That's what majority of the people say. Therefore, now you conform to living a lifestyle that everybody else lives. You're not your own true self. And I think that's the biggest thing, because that's the freedom that a human being has given by God, that you're free to live your life according to your true purpose, according to what you were called for. And
or
when you,
what decision you want to make, you know what I
mean? Exactly, yeah.
It's going to either benefit you or it's not going to benefit you. And
exactly.
Also, one thing before we get to like what they should do to fix those problems is everybody always says it's simple. You know what I mean? Like those, they're like, yeah, but dude, it's just 5 minutes. Yeah, I just check the text. But I just feel like, because I've done this, you know what I mean? I've started my morning with phone and I've started my morning without a phone. And I can tell you that starting a morning without a phone or any distractions is so much better. And
100%.
And this is just a one-time thing. And listen, I challenge anybody to do that. You know what I mean? Start a morning at least like one, at least 30 minutes, all right? Just be on your phone, whatever, doom scroll, whatever you want to do. And then start a morning without a phone and then see how many things you can get done during the day and how distracted you're going to feel in your mind. How free are you going to be in your mind, right? Yeah, I challenge everybody to do that. Because everybody's always, their excuse is, well, it's like, it's 5 minutes, man. It's not like somebody called me, somebody texted, my friend texted me and stuff like that. But even that one text that could probably be negative, or any comment that you're going to read and it's going to be negative, it's going to change your whole day. It's that one simple thing that
right.
People just want to call simple, yet it's so complicated. You know what I mean? In anything. Like,
yeah.
That's why it's like, when you talk to someone about a problem, they're always struggling with that one small thing that needs to be changed. For example, waking up early in the morning, which I struggle, right? Somebody else struggles with that, like, urge to pick up the phone at least for 5 minutes before
right.
They go brush their teeth. It's always that one little thing that we want to call it simple as an excuse of like, oh, it's simple, it's little, it's whatever. But it's always that one thing and small thing that makes a huge impact on anything. So I don't want the viewers to get an idea of, well, what you guys are saying is like, it's simple, you know what I mean? Everybody knows that you shouldn't pick up a phone in the morning, but nobody does it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah, I remember what I was gonna say. It's the fact that like nowadays our emotions are being like pulled and stringed along however these social media apps wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even in control of our emotions.
Oh,
we don't even
no.
know how to feel anymore, because it's like, for example, some kid in like some suburban area, some nice area, like he could be having such a nice life. His parents have a nice house, an overabundance of food. He doesn't really have to struggle. But when he's on his phone, he gets his emotions pulled, like he's going to war or something like that. Like he gets
right.
the feelings that
he has nothing.
That he has nothing, that he's in trouble, that he should, like he, like scarcity almost. Like he,
yeah, dude, fear.
Oh, like the country's going to war. Or like some crazy stuff is happening across the seas, or something crazy is happening, and then all of a sudden this kid's just like, oh my gosh, like, and he's like these emotions
overcome with negativity, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't see the world around him, like the abundance that he does really have, and
yeah.
People are so focused on what they don't have. Like, let's really think about it. People see like a lot of people dying on the news, a lot of people getting injured, like sickness,
shot, yeah.
ill, diseases, whatever. But 100, 200 years ago, we never knew what happened overseas. We never knew what happened. Even the, like three states down, we wouldn't really know what happened unless you like unless word of mouth. Yeah. And so that stuff probably was even worse back then, even because of the lack of abundance and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't really know.
There's
right? We don't know. We don't know because there's nothing recorded. And so nowadays it's like, oh, Sally in fucking like what, France is getting a surgery on cancer. It's just like, I don't know Sally. And it's like, that's a horrible thing. But it's just like, we are so connected to everybody. It's like an overload of information. There's so much emotions being pulled and strained. And all of a sudden you don't want to feel any of this. And that's why you cut yourself off and go like be mindless and just keep consuming different types of content to make yourself feel better.
It's probably more, it was 100%. Probably more accurate to the information that was getting spread through word of mouth, because then people had to be there.
There wasn't a comment section, bro.
Exactly. So people had to be there witnessing what has happened and then kind of tell people, you know, I saw this and this is what happened. But now on social media, they can use AI to recreate something that has never happened. Even the comments, dude. I can edit the comment and I can put whatever I want and, you know, like Photoshop the picture that somebody actually tweeted this out. But in reality, it was a lie. So now people are going to get caught up into this and it's like, it's going to be a whole drama again. So
yeah, rage baiting.
Dude, even with like worse, right? I mean, they only share what they want to share. Like, you know, they don't share the whole story of how the war started or
right.
Like, you know what I
the
mean?
The owners of the media and they just want to, the money smart, that goes
they,
into it.
They're smart. They're using the psychology on people to either blame one side and make the other side totally like
good person,
good or bad. It doesn't really matter because at this point, it's like that's what they want to look at: which one is good and which one is bad. Instead of actually, you know,
the actual problem, right?
Actual problem that they want to solve. I mean,
100%.
The most focus I've ever been was when it was actually like in around like early this year and before my YouTube channel kind of like blew up a little bit, but like when I had like 500 subscribers, even like a couple, like a thousand, like less than that. And I didn't have Instagram. I didn't have TikTok. I don't really have TikTok, but I didn't have any of these other apps. Yeah. And so I was just on YouTube and all I was focused on was getting big in the gym. And making YouTube videos and not worrying about short form content, not worrying about a community, I'm not worrying about like all these things. It's just, I just make videos, I work on myself, I go do my part time job, and that's it. It was simple and easy and stuff like that. But eventually, like as you kind of level up throughout life, you have, it's not that
more
it gets easier, there's more responsibilities and stuff like that you have to take care of.
Right.
And I feel like it's like, yeah, it might be so simple to kind of get ahead and like, a social media and stuff like that, like build a following and even like have a product or whatever. But it's hard because it's like when you rise up, you have like more attention and stuff like that. And it kind of messes with your whole mindset towards things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like when, for example, when my YouTube channel, like back like in February, like when one of my videos was like really doing good, I was checking YouTube Studio like every hour and it was like crack. Oh, another 10 subs, another 50 subs, another 100. I had to delete the app.
I remember that, bro.
I had to delete the app. The first thing I would do in the morning is the only thing that would wake me up and get me out of bed was checking my subs, like in
analytics and how many people.
Dude, it was literally like crack. And I was just like, the more like I refreshed it, another 30 subs, another 30 subs. And it was just like, I was like addicted.
It was dopamine, right? That you were getting like, oh, look, I'm getting more subs. I'm getting more views, more comments.
All and it's a good thing, but I was just like, it wasn't healthy, which was where I was going with it. You know what I mean? I had to delete it. And
right. Dude, that's why my number one suggestion to anybody is really to delete social media. If you're not a content creator and you're not doing something meaningful, like truly meaningful to society and to your community, that you're trying to make an impact, like a big impact, and if you're not sure on what you're doing, I don't think you should have social media. And it's you have to be very honest with yourself and really realize that it is keeping you distracted. It is keeping you a loser. It's keeping you from taking action. That's what it's for. Like, you know, you have to at some point be honest to realize that, you know, it's not doing you any favor. Like, it really doesn't. Even we have social media and we do post our content and we do help people, but at the end of the day, it's not really doing us any favor. I mean, yeah, it's gonna make you money and stuff, good.
Okay, but you can make a big impact.
Yeah, or you could, exactly, and you could make an impact in the world and stuff. But at the same time, You know, you constantly have to battle with yourself on how much time you spend on social media. There are times when I, let's say, edit videos on Instagram or, you know, to go on YouTube to look up things and stuff like that. I get reeled into checking out some reels, going on people's, you know, page and just trying to see their video so I can kind of replicate that, kind of see what's trending, what's, you know, what kind of content I want to make and copy, but not like completely copy, but kind of be inspired by all that kind of stuff. And slowly but surely, you look at the time and, you know, you've spent so much time. One, your eyes just constantly focusing on a screen, getting blue light. Now your eyes hurt, your brain is overwhelmed with all this content, all this stuff, and you feel tired. You feel like you're mentally drained. You don't even have energy to do anything else. That's why when you see people constantly sitting down in the office and just working from a computer, working from home and not really having a lot of movement or physical activities, you're more likely to be depressed. And that's just the fact. It's just like scientifically known fact. When you're sitting down and there's no blood flow and, you know, you're not really moving and physically doing anything, you're just, you know, you can fall into the state of depression. That's why working out and doing a physical activity is vital in everyday life for a human being, no matter what you're doing.
It changes your mood too when you work out, when you move.
100%.
Go for a walk. Nobody's asking you to lift weights or go for a run. Just go for a walk. Especially when you have a schedule like that where you're working from home and you have to do a lot of things on your computer.
Right.
Go for a walk for like 30 minutes, I'm going to hurt you, come back in. And then continue to work.
But you're so reeled in. You're like, oh, I have to do this now or else, you know, I'm not going to have time and all that kind of stuff. And that fear itself is also something that's keeping you from doing something that is healthy for you. Because one of the things that I saw because that was the time when we would edit a lot of videos on Premiere Pro. And you know, editing a whole podcast takes a long time, especially if you just sit down and want to edit everything. And I'll be honest, your brain gets fried whether you want it or not. It's a lot of things that you have to watch back, a lot of things you have to go step by step, pause so many times, you know, take one video, put it back into the cut, whatever. And I heard that if you just get up for 5 minutes, just walk around the house or go downstairs and all that kind of stuff, just a little movement, you're going to be more fresh. And I do that too when I edit videos. Sometimes I take a little break, you know, whether that be like eating a snack or just simply drinking water, just walking around the room or going downstairs, just come up. Like I'm telling you, when I sit back down on that chair, I feel like a new person. It's crazy, but it's true. 5 minutes, dude, 5-10 minutes. And if you just give your eyes some rest, like 10 minutes, just closing your eyes and just, you know, paying attention to your breathing and just, you know, really filling yourself up with oxygen and taking deep breaths, I'm telling you, your energy just gonna go up. And it's these little simple things that can make a huge difference. But like I said, when you're constantly just in that loop of scrolling, you don't think about what you can do for that 5-10 minutes that's gonna refuel you, because you're not even thinking about it. Your mind is occupied by completely something completely different than what you're actually want to do in life.
And I feel like we are the generation, especially when we kind of had a childhood before.
That's what I'm saying. Short I'm form. So blessed for that.
Yeah, right. And well, like for example, when I really started doom scrolling was when TikTok was around, but I didn't know it was doom scrolling. Right? It was like
after COVID and
going
COVID.
On TikTok wasn't like it was harmless. It was just like, oh, you scroll, it's just funny. Like I'm just there to kind of get a laugh. Right. But then it turned like COVID hit, and then that's when people got chronically.
Because before COVID, it was Musical.ly. It was a whole different.
Yeah, I remember Musical.ly too, but like it's crazy because Musical.ly, it's like I for some reason I just wasn't addicted to Musical.ly. Yeah. I just didn't really give a damn about.
And not a lot of people were on it, and not there wasn't so much.
People were just singing type of and dancing. It's just like I'm gonna go play video games instead. Like I'm not with that.
It was a whole different thing. Yeah, it was a different energy. But now
they made it to the point where gamers could also be. TikTokers almost, you know what I mean? Now you can do everything. Now you can stream there and play video games.
Yeah, go live and debate people and.
I mean, I don't know if Musical.ly had that, but
No, I don't think so.
Now it's like TikTok just gives everybody opportunity to go viral and make a living, bro.
Yeah. Buying followers just so you can go live and then now you can promote yourself on live and the amount of things. Dude, there are people that just take a toothpick.
And then yo, they're like, send me a Galaxy and then I'll dump this ketchup on my head. People want to see that, right. So they're going to donate some money.
But then sometimes it can be a loop. It's like, dude, people are sitting there and they have, like, I mean, actual worms just moving around there. And they're taking it and about to put it in their mouth and put it down. They're, like, doing this type of stuff. But it's like a loop. They never really eat it. But so many people are there watching it, just typing, like, all that type of stuff. And it tells you a lot about the app itself. Just the fact that the app allows that many people to have that video suggested for them, you got to understand the evil side of that, the app itself. Why are stupid, ask yourself this question, why are stupid and unproductive videos go viral and not the ones that are productive? Make a productive video, sit down and talk to people honestly, authentically about who you truly are. It's not going to go viral. Go outside, do something stupid, prank somebody in a very degenerate way. It's going to go viral. And just how it is.
The bad thing about that is that people see, oh my gosh, 3 million likes for someone fucking with someone in Home Depot, like, yeah, moaning in his ear.
Let me do it. Like, it's that easy, right?
Does now society favors this stuff? It favors the brain dead people, the jesters. It favors the clown, right, in the middle of the Colosseum. I want to be the clown now. Oh, I'll get so much attention and so much likes for being the clown. It's just like, but when you're actually in that position, it's like, have you guys ever watched pranksters and stuff like that?
Oh,
like,
dude, yeah.
Dude, like, they're not really inspirational people. Like, I'm not gonna,
in a sense, but at the same time, like, not like when you,
like,
look
for
at
example,
it in a deep sense,
I think,
no,
people like, you know, Balin, Levine.
I was gonna bring,
like,
up Balin.
He wanted to stop, right? Like, he kind of stopped doing that type of stuff. And even Gideon, like,
yeah,
these sets of people, it wasn't sustainable, and they looked like fools. They were literally clowning themselves, clowning other people, just to get likes and stuff like that. Right. And I feel like I think they're changing now. I don't really know. I don't really watch them, but
yeah, they're changing towards better a little bit. But then they are still, like, their whole YouTube is, and all of their followers.
I don't know
people,
Deontay, but I don't know about.
But then he didn't. But then he didn't. Like, he went back to his old habits, I would say. Yeah, like, yeah. Part of him is a better person than he used to be in terms of being more mindful and, you know, thinking about things more seriously. But part of him is also, you know, caught up with the community that is keep on asking for him to do pranks, because that's what he's known for. You have to understand, most of their followers and their community is people who want to watch their content. So when you have millions of people watching that content, and you see that they like it, now you stop doing it, it's very hard for you to go viral again with something that aligns with your,
what
yourself.
You created, basically.
Then you have to find a different community, build that community to, you know, for them to watch you constantly. And that takes a lot of effort, just because, just how it took them years to find a community that watched their old videos. Now you have to do the same process over and over again, and you're not guaranteed that you will ever find that big of a community. So it's like, these are the little obstacles that when they think about it, they're like, okay, where's the money going to be coming in? Where's the fame going to be coming in? It won't. Then I'll just have to do the old things that I was doing just so I can get attention. But I don't know. It's
weird.
It's
how
crazy.
It's weird how the community works and how people really get inspired by them. It's like, it's a whole different type of inspiration. It's like,
yeah. People are inspired by different
Loaf,
things nowadays.
Loaf, you know Loaf?
Yeah.
He also does pranks and stuff. People were saying that he was like, teachers were telling me that I was going to be a loser. And now look, I'm on a million subs and
right,
I make a lot of money, stuff like that. Well, not, he doesn't mention like saying I make a lot of money, but obviously he does, because a lot of people watch him.
Exactly.
But then it's like, people are saying, oh, you inspired me, because then I think the people also started making YouTube channel and doing pranks or whatever. I don't even know, dude. I don't even know how they get inspired. Like, I'm not going to lie. How can you get inspired by someone that just goes and messes with people to get a reaction out of them? And then guess what? I've heard from Balin too. He goes and then now he makes fun of people that he pranked. He says, you guys are so stupid for getting mad. It's just a joke.
Right.
Well, it's like, everything has a fine line, you know what I mean? You can't just go to people and start, you know, irritating them and then call them stupid for getting mad, you know what I mean?
When you're the one that's doing something
that's provoking, basically, and then you're filming it and then saying, dude, it was just a prank, how can you get mad? And it's this thing doesn't only come from those people, but just in general, like when somebody tells you some nasty or even a stupid joke, and then they go like, oh, bro, relax, it's just a joke.
Right, or they curse at you and you're not supposed to say anything about
it. I personally don't like those stuff anymore. You know what I mean?
Do you have the mic close to you?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, but I can hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then it's like people just say it's just a joke, even though it's not just a joke. They actually mean that. They just want to kind of lie to you.
Right.
And tell you that it was a joke for you not to get mad or, you know, even tell them, yo, like, what you're saying is messed up. Now they just want to cope with it and say it's a joke for them to get out of that situation.
They're the ones that make the impact and then they blame the other person for, you know, giving them a response type of thing. It's the shifting blame onto another person for something that you initiated is now a problem. And it is very
different how they come out to good guys and one that was screaming at them in the camera is the bad guy. Now they want to portray with good and bad.
Right.
Like,
it's like, dude, I'm just pranking you. Like, I'm the good guy here. Like, you're the bad guy for just a joke.
Overreacting, yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. And people, it's just clown world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I showed him he screamed at a baby and the baby started crying. And then, if anything, I showed him, I didn't know he was going to start crying. I was just trying to, make a joke. Barking at the kid, you know what I mean? And some people laugh, some people say, oh, yeah, this is messed up.
People need to understand that these stuff really don't last for a long time, bro. Like, they're just going to be viral for a little bit, like, short period of time. But when they get older, the chances of you watching a grown-up man pranking people is very unlikely. You would rather see somebody like your age or somebody in their teenage years, probably until 25 or something, 30 the most, doing pranks. And that's very unlikely. It's like, even Gideon, Balin, those kind of people, love, like, they're kind of an anomaly. They're good at what they're doing. Like, you have to be honest about that. They're really good at what they're doing. But for you to go out there and, you know, do what they do is very hard at the same time. So you don't want to be inspired by something just because it makes money and just because you're famous and just because you have a community where people support you. Like, you want to do something where you, like, truly think and know that, you know, that's what you're here to do. That's what your calling is. That's what your purpose is. And, you know, the time that they put into making clowns out of themselves, people are not necessarily, like, I think, laughing at their jokes. They're kind of laughing at them too. But just because they get views, just because they get followers, because they get money from it, they don't consider themselves clowns. But they are, dude. When you go on camera and you are disrespecting yourself to make something so funny for the people and be the clown,
you know, away from your morals,
right? Like, those people don't really care much about
the thing is,
like,
now their audience doesn't take them seriously ever.
What is it?
Like, their audience will never take them seriously,
right? It's very hard because that's who they are. That's how they kind of reveal themselves to the world. Like, this is who I am, and that's how people are gonna know me, whether you want it or not. So
exactly, I think it just all comes down to, like, where you put your attention to and where your mind is really at. Because if you just sit there just binging YouTube all day, watching pranksters, watching stuff to entertain you, guess what? Like, that's all you'll think about. That's all you'll become, is just like these, like, people, right? You'll just think about these thoughts and stuff like that. And this is reoccurring, like, quote or advice that I always hear from, like, books, from, like, podcasts. It's, you are what you think about. And I said this last podcast. What's your...
a joke, dude. But it's not, because you're thinking about it and that's who you become. Now everything you do and say is a joke. Because then you say something and it's like, it sounds bad. Somebody calls you out for it.
Yeah.
Somebody calls you out for it. Then what do you say? It's a joke. You know what I mean? Everything then becomes a joke because of that one time you were coping with yourself saying, it's a joke, it's a joke. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a never ending thing.
Yeah.
So many people.
Mike, can you also check the other camera? I think, you know, when it comes to clearing your mind, I think we pretty much just said everything, except now what we should do is kind of give more specific ways on how people can, like, what they can apply today and be more clear-minded and not be distracted from the world and not live too much into the world, which is something that we're going to explain to the biblical concept of living in the world and, like, living in your sin type of thing. So I think things like spending time in the nature, in a quiet places, in a room where it's quiet, just with yourself, no phone, nothing, no technology, just sitting down and letting your mind think about thoughts, just analyze things within yourself, understand who you are, like really learn about yourself. I think the amount of people that don't even know who they are is crazy. And I know this because I wasn't in the place where if you had to ask me, okay, who is Sadullah? What is Sadullah's purpose? Like, what is Sadullah doing on this earth? I wouldn't be able to answer. You know what I mean? It's like, I would consider that kind of a weird question. It's not that deep, bro. Right. It's like, yeah.
And they go back to scrolling.
Right. But I feel like that's such a deep question, because if you don't even know what you're doing, then you're just going to wake up doing what everybody else tells you to do. You're going to be doing what somebody else wants you to do, not what you truly want yourself to be and what you want yourself to do in this world and live some kind of impact here on earth.
And people are truly missing their individuality. Like, they're missing 100%. That sense of self because of the fact that all their inputs are just from other people's voices. And you don't get to ever hear their own, hear what's actually going on inside of them.
Right. It's like if somebody tells you, okay, Mike, this is who you are, and this is what you should do, bro. This is what's going to make you money. This is what's going to bring you fame, bro. Like, you know, look at you. You can just make easy money from this, all that kind of stuff. They're not really giving you the input that you would necessarily give yourself. Otherwise, you would be the one telling yourself, okay, now let me analyze what, let's say that is an advice. Then you would sit down and analyze, okay, this is what the person told me. Does that really align with myself? And you would never be able to answer that unless you know who you are, unless you understand your virtues, your morals, your, you know, your personhood. Like, who are you and what are your, what are you attracted to? What are you fascinated by? What are you interested in? Until you ask yourself these big questions, anybody can tell you what you can do. Because they're doing that. It works for them. Therefore, it's going to work for you. That's not how things work. You have to really understand who you are, what works for you, and you know, what your purpose is.
Yeah,
like meditation could be a good one.
Yeah, meditation really helped me a lot. And you kind of just start with like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You don't just go into it right away. You have to really try to cultivate your attention, cultivate where to direct your attention and stuff. Because it really is a skill. Knowing where to put your attention at, knowing that your thoughts are not you, simply the thoughts that you just have thoughts, you just have feelings, and you are a separate, you are a presence. You're not these things. You have these things according to the experience that God is giving us, but you just are the presence. That's what you are. You're the present. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. If you define yourself based on what you went through in life, and let's say the unfortunate environment that you grew up in, now, if you want to define your character through those events, it would just be bad because you're not those environments. The things that happened in the world, the things that happened around you that were unfortunate, you know, it was meant to make you stronger and make you realize some things, not to define you as who you are. Because you grew up in an environment where, let's say, parents were alcoholic or you know, there were drugs in your community, all that kind of stuff, doesn't mean that you now have to be that same person. Like, you have a choice to make. That's the free will when it comes in. Like, you saw what it did to people. You saw what alcohol does. You saw what drugs do to people. You see what, you know, not being purposeful and conforming to the society does to people, that they all become like everybody else. They all become same people, boring lifestyle, that type of thing. You really have a choice to make. Now you either choose the easy way and you know, play the victim and say, you know, I don't really have much choice because that's just where I grew up in and that's just what I saw. Or you have a different mindset. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. When I see my dad smoke, that's the last thing I want to do. But then I could also use that same excuse and say, he's smoking. That's just what I saw all my life and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's okay for me to smoke. Like, that's the choice that I'm making. I can't really blame anybody for that. It can either be a lesson or it can be like a detriment to me coping with myself and giving myself excuses on why to do the bad habits that is around me. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with thoughts, bro.
Now that you mentioned that it's like, now I'm going to use this reasoning on why I'm smoking is a very big thing. You know, Georgenko had this guy, Bryce Hall, who's complete idiot if you ask me, because he literally says this on the podcast, and I don't know if he thinks he's cool, I don't know if he thinks he's funny, or I don't know what like, how can you even say that? Like, he literally said this. He said, the reason why I'm getting hammered before the fight, or the reason why I go partying, no, I don't eat healthy, is because if I lose the fight, now I'm going to have a reason to say why I lost the fight. He's basically saying that he doesn't want to take the responsibility, like, and professionally, the fight, because if he does lose the fight, he won't be the one to blame himself, say, you know what?
He has a safety net to fall back on.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I didn't prepare enough, or maybe the guy was actually better than me. He trained harder than me or whatever, and he had better skills to beat me in boxing. Rather than saying that, which is harder to say, he's going to say, well, I was planning, I didn't take it seriously, therefore I lost. Like, he says he wants to, but he says he wants to, like, have a reason within himself. He's not going to go on and say, oh, the reason I lost is because I partied with him. He wants to feel that, he wants to already start making excuses. He's already making excuses why but he says, oh, I'll knock him out, and then I'm going to ask Dana White to give me a UFC contract. But, like, I mean, like, seriously, like, bro, you're already making excuses on, you're already kind of setting yourself
for a failure,
and then you want to, I'm telling you, he's doing it all for money, he's doing it all for fame, he wants to be attention, bro, he wants people to give him attention, like, that's what it is, and it just sounds so stupid when people say that, and that's one reason, he came out and said that, right, because now he just thinks, oh, it's like a good joke that he said, or like, he's gonna trick people, he's probably playing around, bro. No, he's not,
yeah.
Like, that's actually how he thinks with everything, and that's, people don't have responsibilities anymore, bro, that's what it is. Like, when you become lazy and you start to get fat and you start to smoke and you start to do drugs, now your whole excuse is, this is just where I grew up, bro. Like, now they don't believe, like, they know that's not true. They just want to say that to, like, they're gonna.
You can also make yourself believe that, though. Like, if you actually feed yourself all that nonsense that I am where I grew up and I can't really do anything about it, and, you know, I am the unfortunate one, I am the victimized one that. Okay, you just happen to be in that place.
But then you start breaking it down.
You make yourself believe that.
Okay, but then you start breaking it down, saying, who are the people that smoke, right? Let's just define them, right? Like, not to be mean or whatever. Like, let's just define them, who they are, what their lifestyle is like, right? And then you start to see, at one point, some people were doing sports.
Right.
They became lazy. They started to hang out with people that
were bad influence.
Were bad influence, and then they started to smoke. Not because... Oh, I grew up in this environment. Well, here's the thing. When you're 10 years old, you see your dad smoking. You're not smoking because you want to do sports. You know what I mean? But once you start to grow up, now you have more responsibilities and stuff, and you want to escape from the responsibilities. And what's the one way to escape from responsibility? Doing the bad things. What's the bad things? Drinking, partying, all this stuff.
Destroying yourself.
What's your excuse? Oh, I grew up in this environment. Well, that's kind of a lie, because when you were 10 years old, you could have also made a choice to smoke, which some people do, but... It's like, you really don't want those stuff when you're 10 years old, because you know it's bad.
Yeah, I do see where you're going with it, but then at the same time, just because something didn't happen, let's say, at the moment, I do agree with what you're saying. I'm just
I feel like it's a whole trap, bro. It's like, I don't think, it's like, when you ask them those questions, I don't think they're going to really be able to, like, answer you why they're doing what they're doing, bro. Like, there's really no answer to it. Like, every time somebody asks them, bro, why do you gamble? There's no answer, bro. And, like, because when you ask somebody, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? They have an answer. They know what, you know.
Not everybody, but.
Well, what do you mean? Like, when people are entrepreneurs, you ask them, why do you want to become, or why do you even want to make this money? What their reason is.
Are you talking about.
Provide for my family, right? And then you ask people, why do you want to gamble for it? They go like, well, it's just fun.
Wait, are you talking about people that are already, like, successful entrepreneurs, really know what they're doing, and they're into the business that they love?
Because you got to understand, when people are gambling, they make a lot of money already. Like, they're almost, like, successful in that sense of gambling and making money.
And what is their answer?
They don't have an answer. They don't really know why they're gambling. Like, they will tell you, oh, just like...
I'm making money from it. What do you mean?
Yeah, but, like, asking them, like, why do they choose gambling when we know that bad things turn out from it? Okay. Right?
Yeah.
They don't really have an answer. They don't. You know why? Because they're not really thinking deep about it.
Okay.
They think that because they're doing fine and they're not, like, homeless, or they're not losing money and they keep winning money and stuff, they think it's just the right thing to do for them. And they just say, well, for some people, it's not meant to be, because then people start, like, betting too much money and then they lose money. But, bro, you could be the same person. You just have a backup, because, you know, some people are on social media and stuff. If they lose money from gambling, they can kind of rely on social media. But what do they do on social media? Another brain rot. So it's like,
yeah,
it's all, what I'm trying to say is it's all like games, bro. Like you, they can't really give you the real answer.
Yeah.
That's just how I look at it. It just doesn't sound reasonable at all.
No, I mean, yeah, it can't, right? Anything that is, you know, going against the nature of a human being and a true nature of a human being, and like it just won't make sense, because you're lying to yourself, you're coping, you're finding reasons to keep on doing the things that you're doing. And then if somebody asks you, hey, like, if I had to do what you're doing, should I do it? The amount of people that will tell you, like, no, you shouldn't be doing this, it's not really good for you, and they keep on doing that and living that lifestyle is actually a lot. Like, even with your friends or whatever, or somebody that just parties and stuff, like, yo, dude, don't party, bro. Like, what you, dude, when we do podcasts, these type of stuff, the amount of people that are in college and don't, you know, frat parties and all that kind of stuff, they admire what we do. They say, you're such a hardworking person, you know, the fact that you can stay so disciplined in the gym and be able to just, you know, sit home and you know, read the book or, you know, edit videos, all these kind of stuff, and just keep on doing what you're doing, bro. Like, they understand the value of these type of work, but when it comes to them applying that in their life, it seems very difficult for them, because it's that loop that they're caught up in, right, Mike? What do you think?
And the thing is, too, people don't think, and that's the problem. It's the reason that there's a lot of men nowadays who are just mindless. Like, they know what to do. It's not like it's not like they're not capable. It's not like they don't know. You
have the skills.
You know, you just don't think. You just don't really think about your situation. You don't think enough to about yourself. You're too worried about other people and stuff like that. And it's like when Georgie mentioned, like, people like Bryce Hall or anybody on social media, like, I don't care about these people, really. I don't really care what he's doing, she's doing. Yeah. Like, it's just drama. And that's another distraction as well. It's like you have to focus on your own journey. Like, focus on the people around you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what other people are doing in their garden. Water your plants, because they're dying, clearly. Like, your plants are dying, and you're not planting any seeds. You're planting bad seeds and just looking at everyone else's garden, like, over the fence. Like, you're sitting there like a little kid on the edge of the fence looking at other people's gardens when yours is just, like, dying. So it's the matter of just staying in your lane and just... That's where most of my... When I'm focused, that's when I'm just worried about, like, myself and what I'm doing in the present moment. And that's it. I'm not worried about people on social media. I'm not worrying about drama, trends. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Even if, like, the littlest bit of drama, even, like, sometimes, like, with my family, if I get a hint of drama, that's just, like, I know it's just, like, BS, I just cut it off completely. I'm not going
to
be with any of that.
You have to be capable of doing it, for sure.
You have to be able to cut off and just recognize these things as just...
distractions.
And once you recognize that, you can focus your attention back on your own journey.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, I think it just takes just baby steps. It takes those little practices. Just waking up in the morning, just reading a book. Just open up a book and read a page. If you haven't ever, you know, read a book since school, just, you know, take a book. There's always going to be a book that you're going to find interesting. Fiction, nonfiction, whatever it may
be. Than doom scrolling.
You don't need to always be doing something.
Go to a library, too. Go to a library, and there's a bunch of books. Just sit down. It's pretty peaceful. And just read a book. Just do things that is outside of too much noise. You know what I mean? Like, sit in a quiet room sometimes and just understand how it feels to be lonely. How it feels to be in a quiet place. Learn to understand how it feels to struggle. Learn how it feels to also, you know, walk in a park, run. Like, these are the little things that when people experience, they understand that life is so complex and it's just so big outside of what you do. There's a lot of things that you can explore. And when you explore is when you really understand, okay, now I've experienced these things, and wow, like, there's really a better life outside of what I'm doing. But unless you come out of that noise and step back from all that attention, all that noise, and all that distraction, you're never really going to know. That's why when I said, you know, the example of being caught up in the world in a biblical concept, living in your sin, it's the same thing. Unless you really understand that you are caught up with sin and living in the world, you're not gonna need to go to God for help. You're not gonna need God to rescue. You're not gonna need to ask God and pray to God, hey, like, I need help. Like, I really need your guidance, because, you know, it's a distraction. It's a noise. It's the devil's trick, bro. The devil plays that trick on people to capture them and their attention, to be occupied, so they don't turn themselves to God. They don't turn to things that are actually meaningful. Because, look, social media, in today's life that we live in, dude, we live in a comfortable world, yet people are so depressed. We live in a world with such abundance, bro. Really, if you look around you, we live in such abundance, yet there's so many people probably, if we had to take the statistics on, you know, the depression, it's going up. Why? It just doesn't make sense, right? It's a contradictory thing. People didn't have the things that we do now. People didn't have the technology. People didn't have the advancement. People didn't have the things that we have, the access to things we have now. They were more happy than we are. They were less depressed than we are.
Because he was simple.
Why is that happening? Well, one, yeah, it could also...
Sometimes simplicity is better than...
Always. That's exactly. Too much complex is what keeps people distraction. That's what keeps people occupied all the time. And that's why I said it's a devil's trick. Like, you're always constantly in dopamine, constantly in pleasure. And you're trying to fill that void that's never going to be filled unless you have that relationship with God. Unless you have that peace with God. Unless you understand that it's not these worldly things that's going to fulfill you. Because everything has an end. I think that's why it's a very important thing for a person to sit down and say, okay, I'm doing this in my teenage years or in my adulthood, but everything eventually will come to an end. I will pass away. That's a scientific fact. That's a reality. Everybody eventually dies. You know, we don't live forever unless you're saved. But you know what I mean? And you have to ask yourself this question. If what I'm doing on this earth will eventually come to an end, the money I make, fame, anything, the materialistic that I have in this world will go away. What's the point of me doing it? At least make it worth it. You know what I mean? At least understand that what you're doing, you know, by putting that time and energy into things that you're getting, such as money, is worth it. You don't want to live your life in a way where, you know, you're constantly chasing something that will end, and you know it will end, but you're so scared of not having it that you keep on chasing it. You have like blindfolds on, just keep on going away that you really don't know where it's going to lead, yet you do because you know it's going to end eventually. So having that connection, having that relationship with the Lord is you understand that it's never going to end, that there is going to be that eternal relationship, that eternal life with the Lord. But all these things on earth will eventually perish. It will go away. So when you have that peace, when you have that, you know, joy, happiness, that faith, you walk your life very different. You walk your life peacefully. You walk the life with meaning, with purpose, that everything you do has a meaning to it. It's not wasted. It's not thrown away. It's always going to be worth it. Not even if it's not on earth and people will misunderstand you, if people push you away, if people turn their backs on you, God will never turn their back on you, because God gave you that purpose to go and do meaningful things. He gives you that meaning. And no matter who understands it, no matter who tells you you're doing good or bad, God is speaking to you. And I'll be honest, that's when I found God. The time I found God was when I cut off people in my life. Drama. I had a lot of drama in my life. When I cut off the drama, cut off some people, you know, didn't really listen to, dude, every time I would sit in the car, what's the music I put on? Now, I have a drive to the gym, 20-minute, 30-minute drive, no music, nothing, just literally me, myself, and God. You know what I mean? Prayers, that's what prayer is, right? Like, you just praying without any type of input necessarily. You know what I mean? It's with yourself. It's, you know, that personal relationship that you have that you can't necessarily just show somebody. You can't just physically say, oh, look, God right next to me, you see him, that type of thing. You can't say it, but you know it's there. You have that personal relationship with him. And like I said, when I cut out all these stuff and I was with myself for the most part, and I like seeked for God, I could hear him, that type of thing. Right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, people ask questions like, what do you mean by hearing? Like physically hearing, that kind of stuff? Like, no, your soul and your heart like speaks to you. Like you can literally listen to yourself, and somebody doesn't have to tell you what it is that you're hearing. Somebody doesn't have to tell you what it is that you're going to do. Nobody has to necessarily tell you, okay, this is the way to go. Like, you already know it. You sense that you have that purpose. You have that connection, right? The Holy Spirit. And you both understand really well what I'm saying, but it's just that the audience who is listening to us, that part might be confusing, but I think that's on another level. If you're caught up with the world and distracted, and there's so much noise in your life that you don't even get quiet time for yourself, what I'm saying now about that relationship with God, I think is not going to make sense. But when you separate yourself from that noise, then you will understand that you can have that personal relationship with the Lord. But you got to let go of some things. You got to really put things down, and you got to push things out in order to live with him. You know what I mean? Even if it means to be completely alone. Mm-hmm. And we all went through that. I know that for sure.
Exactly. It's a challenge to yourself that to find something greater than just what's in the world. Like, mm-hmm. simple as they need to let go of that feeling of waking up and being on their phone, which is an easy thing. Because the hard part is putting your phone aside for an hour and do the other things that need to be done in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing, right? It's also a hard thing to say. Like, actually ask yourself, right? It's like, what does happen after I die? Like, like right now, you're living, you can breathe, you can eat, you can drink, you can see your friends. Like, you're kind of almost, your mind not being present, but you are, like,
physical, alive. Living in reality.
What happens when you die? Like, how can you imagine? Like, you know, because everybody has an imagination on how they can imagine
this,
right? So, like, how can they imagine when they're going to die? If the answer is like, oh, I'm just going to die, I'm just like, whatever, like, then it doesn't make sense. Like, for me as a believer, knowing that we're going to be in heaven, like, they're just, like, how can you just die and there's nothing?
Right.
Like, how? Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense because it's not true. I mean, we know it's not. And I mean, it's a fact that it's not. I mean, they can believe that it is, there's going to be nothing, but... You know, believing one thing and being and something being true is another thing. You know what I mean? You don't have to believe if it's true, but I mean it is true. So it's like you have a choice to believe what's true. You know what I mean?
Right. Almost.
I don't know how to say it, but just what it is. At the end of the day, it's making a choice. You have to think and like actually be like ask yourself questions. You know, that's the best thing you can do. Otherwise, like you said, they're never gonna find the answer. Yeah, they can listen to you.
You have to seek for an answer.
Exactly. Yep. They need to. Think down and, sit down and think about it.
100%. What do you think, Mike?
I agree. Well said.
Yeah. To be honest, like the whole episode, our main message is to really, if you had to go step by step, remove yourself from noise, remove yourself from distraction, remove yourself from the input. If you're getting too much input, cut it out. Sit down with yourself and, you know, be able to analyze things within yourself peacefully and alone without anybody else necessarily telling you what to do, necessarily telling you why you're thinking the things that you do. Solve the problems. Ask yourself a question. You don't have to get an answer right away. Ask yourself a question. Okay, what is my purpose? What is my calling? Why am I unhappy? You don't have to get an answer right then and there. Seek for an answer. Live your life and understand why there are some holes in your life and how can you fix them. You know what I mean? And like I said, there's always a void that needs to be filled. It's just what you fill it with. We all have a void. We filled it with God. I filled it with God. And now the void doesn't exist. The void has been filled completely for me. There are problems. That's a whole different story. There are problems to be solved. There are doubts. There are these things that you are struggling with. But that's not necessarily a void that you're trying to now fulfill by pleasure and dopamine constantly. You know what I mean? Like, problems are a good thing. That's how you grow. You're supposed to have problems to grow. But I think there's a big difference when it comes to going out of your way to fulfill your needs, that pleasure and dopamine constantly, and think that it's fulfilling you when it's not. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can go party, but when you come home, why do you feel unhappy? If that's what's supposed to fulfill you, why does it not fulfill you? Ask yourself these questions and then come to an answer. There is an answer out there. And that means you don't have to party to fulfill something.
That means
you don't.
It's fake happiness. That's right. Why there's no answer to it.
Exactly. It's just...
That's why there's no real answer. Yeah. When they ask them, why do you like gambling? Why do you do what you do? They don't have an answer, bro.
Right.
Go ask anybody. I mean, I just listen to them and I really don't find an answer. They really don't have an answer, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, like, we're gonna have to, people need to...
I guess for me to like actually show you like... almost like word to word what they said is like you're gonna have to pull up the video, which we can probably do that kind of stuff for the next episode. You know, I mean, just gonna kind of go through what people think and kind of we can
analyze it.
Yeah,
take notes or something.
It would be fun. Yeah, but I can definitely show you guys stuff. As we'll see.
All right. Talking about. Yeah. Quote of the day.
I'll do that.
Anything else you guys want to add?
I think we covered a lot of it. Yeah.
Quote of the day. I'll do quote of the day this time.
Okay, go ahead.
You can do the shout out.
Yeah.
If you're not progressing along the true way, a slight twist in the mind can become a major twist. This must be pondered well by Miyamoto Musashi. And this is literally what we're talking about, the whole thing. It's like if there's a twist in a mind, it can become a major twist. Like a small thing that you go on tangent, you can now go down a rabbit hole of that same thing, and then it's going to make a huge change. And you're going to ask yourself, was it something big? Was it something like huge that I made a mistake in? No, it doesn't have to be. It can just be a slightest small thing that you did repetitively over the time that led to you going astray.
This can be both good and bad, depending on what that little slight thing does. It's an upward spiral or down spiral.
Right. But, you know, how, according to the quote, since it says if you're not progressing along the true way, then, you know, most likely it is talking about you going on a way that it's not, you know, necessarily like progressing. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I guess if the quote didn't have...
If you're not progressing, a slight twist can either detriment that even more or make it better. It can turn into something a little... Because that's what momentum is. That slight twist turns into something bigger.
Exactly. Just like how you took a twist, let's say, towards an unproductive habit, a slight twist to a productive habit over a period of time can also make a big change positively. You know what I mean? So it can really go both ways. Shout out. The shout out is from YouTube. And this is more like a question. DAFFODILS9. Dude, some people have a name that you can't even pronounce.
Not real.
It's not a name. hey guys, how you guys hold inner conflict? ? Me getting away from social media and YouTube to stop influence, but how to recognize what my actual quote thoughts are? What makes it actual? ? I get the feeling something about what is good for me or needs or wants. Where does these feelings come from? ? Science doesn't have convincing answers, so I wish to hear from y'all. Who wants to go about this question? The first one is, how do you hold inner conflict?
I mean, inner conflict is simply just you kind of fighting with like yourself. But what is yourself? It's like your lower self and your higher self. I feel like there's two versions. The one that takes the easy route, or the one that takes the harder route, right? Which would be your higher self and stuff. And like the lower self is like your ego. Your ego will always be worried about what's happening in the world. It will always be worrying about its needs, its primal needs, animalistic needs, etc. Exactly. But the moment that you start fighting with yourself is the moment that you kind of already lost. You don't need to fight with yourself or have conflict. Yeah, like you can write things down to get things out of your mind. But personally, you don't need to think at all.
But isn't it a good thing fighting with yourself?
I mean, you don't necessarily need to fight with yourself. You can end the battle right now if you really wanted to by just not thinking at all. Because the moment you keep wrestling with this lower version of yourself is the moment it keeps getting to you almost, in my opinion. Like
Sometimes you just have to just, you know, throw them on the side type of thing, you know, like...
Because not every thought is your thought.
And yeah, I mean, there's a difference between thoughts and thinking, the way that you think and interpret versus the thoughts that you just have automatically. An intrusive thought is not you thinking. You just had an intrusive thought. It's like a cloud that went by that looks big and scary.
It has a cause, though. It has its own cause. It can be
by what you kind of are what you attract and stuff. Because your mind is an antenna. It will attract whatever you kind of put into it, in a sense.
Well, you've seen 100%. Right? I mean, you've seen, like, when you watch movies where people have jumped off the... No, what's it called? A bridge or something.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when you're going to be standing next to the bridge, you're going to have that thought because you've seen it somewhere. So it's in your head and it just pops up because it's like the situation just looks familiar. And now your thought just comes in. It doesn't mean it's real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like a temptation, right? That's what they call devil. Everybody has that kind of concept of devil, like these thoughts that are not, you know, it's not like telling you and guiding you in a right way, you know what I mean? It's not guiding you towards something that you necessarily want to go down. You have second thoughts when it's like when you hear these voices in your head, it's like, why am I thinking this? You're almost in shock. Like, are these even my thoughts? And then when you believe that these are your thoughts and that is you, that's when you're like done, type of thing. Like, that's when you fall into anxiety, depression, overthinking, because you believed something that's not you. Now you're spiritually just battling that idea, that thought, that vision, that's not even supposed to be you. And now when you're caught up with that battle, you don't even know who your actual self is. Is it the one that's thinking that or the one that's going against that thought? Which one is it? And that's why clarity and, you know, being clear-minded and, you know, being in peace is what brings part of that answer.
And you'll know the difference between your higher self and your lower self when your higher self is more, you feel more intuitive, you feel more calm, you feel like you know, you don't have to overthink anything.
Right.
You go and you just know.
Right.
And your higher self is like connected to God, which, or the universe and the infinite intelligence, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you've heard of the infinite intelligence, right? Where it's like this like place that we cannot see, but it's connected to God. Like, God made the universe, right? But I feel like the universe is almost like that infinite intelligence God made. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
when you think of the infinite, you know what I'm talking about, the infinite intelligence? It was a concept in like Think and Grow Rich. It was a concept in
It sounds like the whole like idea of, you know, the belief that, you know, God and universe are the same and that type of thing. Like, that's, I think that's where it comes from. And like thinking that, yeah, the universe that provides the answers and all these kind of stuff. But I don't think that takes you to God necessarily, but I think that takes you to a spiritual connection with the world and spiritual connection to a higher power. Sure.
Yeah.
The intelligence, that consciousness, the calling, guidance.
Yeah. My whole point is that, like, you'll feel it intuitively that you are like stepping into your higher self when you just know, like, you just have this feeling of certainty and calmness versus your ego and your lower self, which is just like, you start overthinking and being like, oh, I suck. Oh, I've been doing this, or, oh, I just can't. Like, you just start, that's not you.
You're not yourself.
That's where the devil is like tricking you to make you think that this is who you are.
Right.
And that's when you're kind of on the down spiral.
100%.
Part of the question, right? Like, how do you know?
How do you know that how do you know your actual thoughts? What you're thinking is your actual thought. When do you know that? And he kind of gave that answer.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't have thoughts. You just, you have thoughts, but you are not the thoughts.
Yeah, you have to, it's like a skill. You have to learn to detach yourself from some of the thoughts. Some of the thoughts are good, some of the thoughts are bad. You have to have that skill, and you have to work on that skill to be able to detach yourself from thoughts. I had the thought, all right, it was bad. That's not me. I know that's not me.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw away that thought and replace it with a positive one. I'm going to throw it out. Yeah, your subconscious may be a garbage. Well, clean it up. You know what I mean? What are your inputs? If you listen to, I'm just going to say, rap music that is talking about drugs, girls, sex, lust, all that kind of stuff, and at the same time, you're trying to also live a wholesome life, and now you have those two inputs, that's the battle. Cut one of them out, and you will see how your life will change. Don't have the battles within your life, you know what I mean, of negative and positive. Keep your life more on the positive side and slowly having a goal to change your life into the most positive life you can imagine. Sit down and write your goals, write down your life. What would be a life that is the most positive? And the things that don't align with the positivity, cut them out slowly but surely. And you will understand that when one negative thing is out of your life, two, three, and four, you will see that you're going towards the right path. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. I think...
it's a hard question, though. I mean, it's very interesting what he asked, but I mean, it's just hard to explain it just in like a little time, but I think the main ones we covered.
Right. Dude, I think this episode also summed up the whole thing. Like, we really don't have a magic pill. There's really no magic pill. It's that simple. So sometimes you just have to cancel the noise. Just get away from the noise, bro. Like, be peaceful. Be alone. Learn to be alone. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need people constantly around you. You don't need everybody else telling you what they think, what their dramas are, what their problems are. Yeah, it's good to hear some people out and help them, but you don't need that constantly. You don't need that always. In fact, it is better to take the time off and be alone. That's when you learn about yourself. Every single person that I've encountered personally that has understood some part of them was from being alone, from being isolated from other people and asking themselves questions that they solved. Not anybody else telling them, okay, this is how you should solve the problem. They might help you solve the problem. They can never solve it for you. They don't know you as much as you know yourself.
You know what the best advice is? No advice. That's the best advice.
That's Nate Belmar type of thing.
Or I've heard like, no some way people the way. Say that. Like, the best advice is no advice at all.
Yeah.
You're better off not hearing from five different people who have had different journeys versus you just kind of just trying, not necessarily figuring out, but just going, like just doing.
Yeah.
And just practicing, definitely. And experimenting and failing.
There's no better answer than the answer that you get within sometimes. So, you know, you got to learn that there's those two ways and you really have to learn to master both. So,
because no one knows you more than you know yourself.
Amen. It's a good episode. Thank you for these type of comments. These are very deep questions, and we did see some of your comments giving a suggestion to do a video on the history of being a man and masculinity and then the change in time, how man kind of developed into who they are now. That's versus who they one. Used to be. Okay, it's going to be a very interesting one. And give us your thoughts. Tell us what you guys think about this. If you have any questions, if there's something that we didn't clarify, we'd love to touch back on, make a interesting episode for you guys and share our personal experiences on what we can help you with. So thank you all for that. Thank you for all the support that you guys are giving us. And we really, really appreciate it.
Yep. And with that, think big, grow big.
Peace.